That's 2 Kings chapter 8, starting to read at verse 1. Now Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, "Go away with your family and stay for a while wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years." The woman proceeded to do as the man of God said. She and her family went away and stayed in the land of the Philistines 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, she came back from the land of the Philistines and went to appeal to the king for her house and land. The king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and had said, "Tell me about all the great things Elisha has done." Just as Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elisha had brought back to life came to appeal to the king for her house and land. Gehazi said, "This is the woman, my lord the king, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life." The king asked the woman about it, and she told him. Then he assigned an official to her case and said to him, "Give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land from the day she left the country until now." Well, here we see an account of Elisha speaking to this woman whose son he had restored to life. You may remember us looking at the story, as well as reading the story, back in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 8 to 37. You will perhaps remember how Elisha went into the boy's room. He lay dead on his bed, and now he lay on him, and he came to life. Rather strange story, perhaps, to our ears. Yet, clearly, a miracle in the power of God was performed. This woman, of course, was one who showed tremendous kindness to Elisha. She organized for a little room to be made available for him whenever he passed by. Well, clearly, Elisha had not forgotten her kindness to him. So when the Lord decreed a famine in the land that would last for 7 years, he told her to go away with her family to a place where she would have enough to eat and drink. And we read here, of course, that she went to the land of the Philistines. Now, after 7 years, the famine came to an end and she went back, but clearly it wasn't long before she discovered that someone had taken hold of her house and her land. And so she felt that she needed to go to the king of Israel in order to try and get her property back. Well, it just so happened, and I'll just pause there for a moment, because none of us here this evening believe in chance. We recognize that God orders our days. It just so happened that as she made her way to the palace, that the king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. Now, we might just stop there for a moment, because you will remember how that leprosy came upon Gehazi. You remember he went after Naaman in order to obtain a gift from him. He tried to hide that from Elisha, and the judgment for his sin was leprosy. How could Gehazi appear before the king in his palace? I think that's a good question to ask, but I think it's worth bearing in mind that these events aren't necessarily in chronological order. Sometimes the author of books arranges things so that they in a particular way, that he wants to put them for theological reasons. So I just put that to you. It may be that at this particular point, Gehazi does not have leprosy. Anyway, we can spend time thinking about that, but we won't. Let's carry on considering this account together. The king, probably Jehoram, was asking Gehazi about all the wondrous acts that Elisha had performed in the power of God. You might say, well, wasn't the king aware of some of Elisha's acts? Yes, he probably was. The public acts, but not the private ones. And you will have noticed over the weeks that we have been looking at 2 Kings that quite a number of the gracious acts of Elisha have been carried out in private. They have been performed for the good of the remnant in Israel. The king then would not have been aware of these. And here is Gehazi speaking to the king about all that Elisha has done. Now, amazingly, and I'll pause again at this point, because if we know anything about God, we will not be amazed. But amazingly, as Gehazi is telling the king how Elisha has done this and that, the woman makes her way into the presence of the king. And actually, the story that Gehazi is retelling as the woman walks into the presence of the king is the one concerning the Shunammite and her son being brought back to life again. And Gehazi is able to say to the king, look, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. Not only did the king enjoy, it seems, listening to these stories, he was particularly fascinated by the story of the woman and wanted her to retell the story in her own words, which of course she did. And the king was clearly moved by what she had to say. Look at what we read in verse 6, or the latter part of verse 6. Then he assigned an official to her case and said to him, give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land, from the day she left the country until now. Now, isn't that remarkable? Bear in mind that this is not a good king. This is a wicked king. So impressed is he by her story that he becomes favorable towards her and the condition she finds herself in. Now, there are 2 things, very briefly, that I want us to note from this lovely story. The first concerns the king's interest in the mighty acts of God through Elisha. He was fascinated by them. He considered them to be truly wonderful. What power had been displayed through Elisha? Yet he remained unchanged and uncommitted towards the God of Elisha. And you know, since the time of Jehoram, there have been many who have listened to the wonderful, miraculous stories of God. There have been many who have heard the incredible things that Jesus Christ did when he was upon the earth, yet have remained unchanged and uncommitted. As I was preparing, I thought of Herod, who just loved to listen to John the Baptist. He was intrigued by the things that John had to say, yet he didn't really follow John's message, did he? And sometimes that is the way. Let me read a paragraph from this quite brilliant, I would argue, commentary on 2 Kings by Dale Ralph Davis. He says, "This is a sad but common reaction. During Easter vacation of 1941, InterVarsity Fellowship held its annual conference at Trinity College, Cambridge. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones gave the presidential address on the raising of Jairus' daughter. He stressed the limitations of human knowledge and the power of Christ, focusing on verse 53. The master of Trinity College, the historian G.M. Trevelyan, was there. He was not a believer, but afterwards greeted and complimented Lloyd-Jones. Sir, he said, it has been given to you to speak with great power. That is the Jehoram syndrome. One can recognize something of the power and pull of the gospel without embracing that gospel. There is, it seems, a vast gulf between being charmed by the truth and being converted to the truth. The men of Nineveh will likely stand up at the judgment to condemn Jehoram and his heirs, for they repented when they had only a simple word of judgment, but no catalogue of grace." Is it sad that people can, you know, listen to the wondrous things that God has done and yet not be converted? It's sad, but I think we need to be mindful of that so that we're knocked off our feet, or so to speak, when these things happen. And then secondly, I want us to think very briefly about the wonderful providential care of God towards the Shunammite woman. And I think this is unquestionably the main point of this story. And actually, we've seen a lot of stories, haven't we, in the life of Elijah, that convey this all-important thought to us. She could so easily have ended up struggling in the land during those 7 years of famine. But God saw to it that she went and lived elsewhere, where there was enough food for her and her sons until she came back. Oh, when she came back, her situation was actually quite difficult if you stop and think about it. No home, no property in order to grow food. What was the likelihood, humanly speaking, of her getting her land and her property back when going to the king? Well, I don't know the answer for sure, but not a particularly nice king, and after all, who was she? But do you see how God overruled, how God worked events so that the king amazingly became so favourable towards her? I'm sure at the end of all of this, she must have looked to God with tremendous thanksgiving. Oh Lord, I praise you for the wonderful way you have looked after me and my family over the years. I could never have imagined that you would be so good to us. Well, it's good, isn't it, for us to remind ourselves this evening that our God is the Shunammite woman's God. And he hasn't changed in all that time. Our motto text for the year, of course, is one that reminds us that God is the same yesterday and today and forever. God is watching over us, and he is meeting our needs just as he met the Shunammite woman's needs all those years ago. Well, let's pray, and then we'll sing together. Lord God, we thank you for these Old Testament stories. that impress upon us your providential care. And it's remarkable, really, the way in which you so lovingly and tenderly watched over this woman who had lost her husband. And we thank you, Lord, that you haven't changed. We thank you that you watch over us today. Our situations perhaps are different, but we still have needs, and we thank you that you are a good God. And we do see your hand so clearly at work in our lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.